When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Let me know when you're free. My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything Alexis, after I ask her to go to smile with me.
Ew, to the nah, to the nah, nah, nah.
Thank you, Sheree. But
My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything Jason asking Colin to go with him to see smile.
Ew, to the nah, to the nah, nah, nah.
Yeah, we're busy.
Very, very busy.
Yep.
I'm so pathetic, though, a listener named Ryan emailed that he'll go with me his boyfriend doesn't like horror movies. So thank you, Ryan. That's very sweet of you. I know. Welcome to the show, everybody.
That might be kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, she by Sheree, how I love thee.
Yeah. Ew, to the now, to the now, now, now.
Can we get an ultimate girls trip with her on it?
Seriously.
That would be fantastic.
Who gonna check me, boo? Who gonna check me, boo?
Anyway, she got better.
She did.
As the seasons progressed.
She did.
Oh, God. Those early seasons of Atlanta were just raw.
Yes.
It was before glam teams.
God, I loved it.
Glam teams. And it's Bethany's big rub. You know, the more I listen to Bethany's Rewives podcast, listen to Bethany.
Yeah, is that good?
Yeah, it is. One of the things she doesn't like is the change in the production. It ain't real.
Mm-mm.
She said she realized things had changed when she returned for season 6 and Kristen Tankman had a glam team. Like, she was getting into makeup before a scene. And Bethany goes, what? Getting into makeup before a scene? This is your life. It's supposed to be just your life.
It's just your life.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't
OC,
like that either.
Or not OC, but Beverly Hills is the worst about
it's
that.
It's horrible.
Every person has a freaking glam team.
The first seasons of the OC, now that's my jam.
I know. That's how I feel about the first seasons of New York.
They were great. They'd get on their horses and they'd go ride along the beach and their long hair would flow in the wind.
Vicky?
Vicky didn't do this, but this was just some of the other cast members.
I'm with
you. Gina. And it just... You know, they weren't talking about their terrible divorces. It was like them going shopping and drinking and eating and having fun and having petty little fights, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, dumb drama.
And now it's just real. It's like, ugh. I mean, but then at the same time, you're right. Then they have these glam squads. So it's this weird sense of reality, but
yeah.
Ugh. And they're all selling stuff.
Yep. Well, I have, before we get too far into this, I have this great, I don't like sometimes these stupid surveys, but this is a fun one for the holidays. But before we do that, Dawn has like 80 prizes to give away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I do.
What are we giving away?
Well, right now, we had a person that could not do the Beauty and the Beast. So I have two pairs of Beauty and the Beast at the Ordway. So these are for two different winners. So just hang in there if you're calling. Opening night performance on Wednesday, November 30th at 7:30 p.m. So give us a call, 651-641-1071. Hang tight. If it's ringing, it could be you.
It could be you. Call now. We're looking for two winners. Okay, yeah. Lex, here's the... Okay. Dawn's doing that.
Yes. And what do we got?
Then we'll get Dawn in the conversation when she's back. But here... Listen to this. Here's the headline. Half of us have a family member we'd like to ban from the holidays.
Oh, yes. Just one? Uh-huh.
Okay. The top... the top four?
Mm-hmm.
Aunts?
Yeah. Your
uncles?
Weird uncle. Yep.
Nephews and cousins.
Yeah.
The top causes.
Okay.
The top causes. Unresolved family issues.
Yeah.
Politics.
Yep. That's a big one right now.
And alcohol.
And alcohol.
52% of us have at least, okay, see, Lex, this is where you come in, have at least one person they would like to uninvite. So here's the...
That's not my case this year because I'm hosting, so I invited who I wanted. But there are some family members that you're right, you kind of have to. You're stuck with them.
Yeah. Top five. So here's digging into that. Number one, lingering family issues. 15% said it's the number one cause.
Yeah.
Number two, personalities that clash comes in at number two with 12%. Number three, beliefs or values that don't line up, 11%.
That's huge.
Politics, 9%.
Yep.
Alcohol, 9%. Okay. This is the only thing. This is what surprises me. This is why this fascinated me, other than the fact that I think it's hysterical / relatable. I'm surprised in this day and age that politics is not number one.
Yeah, I mean, and the values thing, that could maybe be going hand thing. In
to
hand.
To me,
this
is, yeah.
Yeah, so that would double it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that.
That would be 20% making it number one.
Yeah, so one in five. I think that makes sense.
Absolutely. It's difficult.
Yeah. And how do you know if you're that family member that no one wants? You just get no invitations? Do you think that they know that they're the ones that they don't really want there?
Well,
I mean, maybe some family members are very obvious about it.
Yeah. Well, like, it's very, not that we would ever be uninvited, and I'm not telling tales out of school. Lord knows I don't do that anymore after. We are. No, we are. We are the ones. We are the ones. We are the ones. We are.
I wasn't getting at that
no,
at all.
No, please. No, Lex, we are the ones. Colin and I are the ones. He's laughing at his desk right now at the Sumner Group. We are the ones that
I think. But is it Colin or is it you?
I think it's me. I think it's what I gotta tell you, I have never said this out loud.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
And since we'll be gone for Thanksgiving, it doesn't matter, but
why are you leaving for Thanksgiving, huh? Is the allure of Mickey so strong? I kid.
Mickey doesn't bring up Donald Trump, so that's why we're... No, I'm kidding. No, it's the politics thing for us.
Yeah.
And this isn't a judgment. This is just the facts. I joke. I'm making fun of ourselves.
Yeah.
To answer your question, like it is. Yes. Colin and I would be the one that I think if the family had a vote, and I mean, and this is Colin's family, because the truth, I would pick on my family, and I have. My family is very small. It's literally just me and my mom and my aunts who I don't see.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, my stepfather, the Cappy, we did not agree at all on politics and the like. I remember a heated little discussion between myself, my cousin Stan, who's also gay, and his bitch husband Chad.
Every time I forget you call him that.
Yeah. Of the three of us went toe-to-toe with Cappy following the inauguration of Barack Obama. And it was when I kind of saw a different side of Cappy that I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And
and then your mom feels like she has to jump in.
Well, not really. You know, it was a fascinating thing.
She's like, I gotta go. Bye.
Well, you know what was fascinating is my mom was kind of and I know you're going to nod your head in the car. A lot of you. My mother was an interesting case study in. My mom and my dad were like Reagan Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They were Democrats, Reagan, but very centrist, very centrist. And to watch my mom marry somebody that was, ooh, child, was on the other side. It was weird for me to watch kind of the transformation, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, but then now with Colin's family, and I'm not telling tales out of school.
Yeah.
I've called my father-in-law Archie Bunker for years. Colin and I do not line up at all with 90% of the siblings, like our beliefs. And we sometimes do feel very like the gray duck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We feel not like black sheep, but we feel we're kind of alone on our little island.
Yeah.
You know,
you can only talk about the weather for so long. And it's like, well,
yeah. And it's kind of like everyone now. And it wasn't so much like this when I first met
those Vikings.
Yeah. You're all kind of waiting. You're kind of waiting for someone to step on kind of a landmine. Someone who's going to bring up, who's going to make a crack first? Who's going to make a joke first? Who's going to mention a TikTok conspiracy video first?
Right.
You know what I mean? Which that's, I wish, anyway. But, and you're waiting for that moment, and we feel very, two of these boys ain't like the others. So I'm making fun of myself and saying, I think if the family could take a vote, I think if Colin's family could take a vote, Colin and I would not be... We would be removed. We would be uninvited because we just see things very differently. And
yeah,
it makes it's uncomfortable. It makes, truthfully.
Yeah. I say with my family.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're kind of an outlier.
No. Well, well, let's see. I guess it's kind of 50-50 at this point. We just choose not to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and focus on the kids and focus on, you know, other things that are going on in work and stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
You redirect.
Yeah, because we just know that we are never going to see eye to eye on things.
And it's great that you have the kids to refocus on.
True.
That is not to use the children's,
yes,
but that's...
You want the cousins to, especially
see,
my
good
kid who's an only child, to have those relationships, you know? And I remember that as kids, and that was so fun. I don't remember the adults and what they necessarily talked about. Again, they were more in line, at least in my growing up in term politically. So maybe that was like a non-issue.
Yeah.
It's more of an issue now.
It's, yeah, it is now.
Yeah.
And it, in a way, it makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a way, it does make me sad because it wasn't, it's gotten worse.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And this isn't a political judgment. It just, everyone, I think this isn't a revolution or a controversial statement. It has gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad. It used to be the divisions weren't so, the politics didn't drive the conversation so much.
Mm-hmm.
When I, like 10 years ago, when I entered the family, and it makes me really sad.
I think because
it's not, it's very, it's, there's a tension that wasn't there before.
It's really personal now too.
It's very personal.
When, you know, there's.
Because you can't just disagree.
Yeah.
You know, the other side, you hate the other side.
Well, my brother's gay and he's, you know, there's a lot of like, hey, my rights are being jeopardized here.
Yeah.
How can you vote against me? You
mm-hmm.
know? And that's a personal thing.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I know.
Use gays. Did
I'm
you know
gays.
That?
And, you know, I'm a double threat. I'm a gay and uh-huh. I'm part of the media, you know. So I'm a lot of fun at gatherings.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And there's no, you can't win an argument. And I always, especially with my stepfather, and we'll go, we're running late, but it's Friday and who cares?
And this is so relatable. You hear about this all the time.
But with my father-in-law, you know, I never want him to feel, and I think he feels that way. And we've gotten into, and again, I don't think he cares, I say this. We've gotten into some heated discussions. I love him. I don't mind having arguments, like nice, grounded arguments, you know, like not
yes.
arguments, but hard conversations. My father-in-law and I have gone toe to toe, and I love it. I always try to make him real. I always want him to know that I hear him.
Mm-hmm.
I never want him to feel like I'm judging him or thinking that his values or what he reads on Facebook is, I never want to make him to feel like I think he's dumb or wrong, or I always try to listen and to hear him. And I just, you know, want the same. But you can never really win an argument, especially when, you know, I try to defend the people. I always try to remind my family, when you're busting on general, the media in general, I've said this before.
Yeah.
You're busting on my friends. You're busting on my colleagues. You're saying that not just Dawn or you, but the people that I work with in the newsroom.
Fox, yeah.
You're saying that my friends walk into the newsroom and intentionally lie and distort. And the media is humans. It's not a building. It's not steel and desks and computers. It's people. And that's the bridge that's when it hurts my feelings. You can see that that poll.
Yeah, send it to me. I'll put it on our show page at mytalk1071.com.
We're going to have the dirt alert when we return.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We are so glad you're here. You count on us to deliver the biggest pop culture headlines, and we shall do that. It's time for the Dirt Alert with Dawn.
Yes. Yeah, so Jay Leno, of course, had that horrible accident in his garage. You know, he loves classic cars. He has about, I don't know, 40 at his home. Honestly, it's insane. Well, wow. He was working on a car and got burned. Well, now he, it looks like he's going to make a full recovery with this. He has third-degree burns, but he's in a hyperbaric chamber. They've been putting him in this hyperbaric chamber.
LeBron James.
LeBron James. Like The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not, but that's what I think of whenever I hear about a hyperbolic chamber.
The more they investigate, the more they...
The back to chamber.
Hyperbaric chamber. Sorry, not bolic.
The more they examined him, the worse some of the areas were. They thought it was maybe just first or second, but it was down to third degree burns.
Yes.
So
his condition is good, but his injuries are serious. The doctor said he did well during the first surgery and he was in good spirits yesterday. So, oh man. And I'm so glad that his friend was there because his friend rescued him.
Oh, thank goodness.
And basically tackled him to put out the flames. So boy, he should give him a car, don't you think?
Yes, he should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Start a 401k for him or something.
If he's Jay Leno's friend, he probably has a healthy
401k. Yeah. Okay. Tim Allen went to go see him yesterday.
Yes, I saw that.
President Biden called him.
That's so nice. Yeah. Okay, let's see. That's not opening for me anymore. Okay, so Harry and Meghan, for their documentary about themselves, they first had a director, and Page Six is reporting on why they dropped their original director. She's an Oscar-nominated director, and her name is Garrett Bradley. Okay. And she originally did the series Naomi Osaka, and that was about that young tennis sensation. It was about mental health, and she won an Oscar for it. Mm. So last year when they were working on the project, Variety asked her if Netflix had introduced her yet to Harry and Meghan, and she hadn't met them yet. One thing that she did want is that this is the big sticking point here where they let her go. Harry and Meghan didn't want to work with her because she insisted that they film at their home and they were not comfortable with that. So it's a documentary about them, the way she works. She's a documentarian. She wanted to have them in their home setting and they said, no, we'll not film at our home at all.
Well, there's a line of privacy for everyone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's...
Where do they want to film in? At the park or in the library?
Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese.
I guess.
I love that Alexis just thinks about places.
Turning in their Kohl's cash.
Returning things at Kohl's for Amazon. I didn't like this top. Harry. I'm going to go to Kohl's and return it.
You know what else I hate? What? I just really hate when my dad gets in my business. So here, thanks for the receipt. Yeah.
When it comes down to it, she left the project. They didn't fire her. Harry and Meghan's own production company captured as much footage as they could before their next director was hired. Hmm. So that's why it was a weird situation in New York City last year. They were seen with two different film crews because they were already planning on they weren't getting along with this director.
Oh.
So they were filming on the side with somebody else.
Oh, they had a side A side hustle.
Oh, they had a side director side who is the director now.
Oh my gosh, that's not awkward at all.
No. Right, so how do you feel if you find out, that's probably when she's like, I'm out of here. She finds out, they were seen over here in Manhattan filming where? That wasn't our crew.
It's documentary infidelity.
Yeah, infidelity. Oh, boy. Mark Maron is getting his wish, his HBO dream. He is going to do a special on HBO. Okay. And, you know, Mark Maron, famous comedian. If you don't know Mark Maron, he's brilliant. He had a show for years called Maron about his podcast. He also does probably the top podcast, one of the top podcasts in the industry as far as entertainment goes, and interviewing everybody from presidents to, you know, just everyone has been on his podcast. So he said that he did his first three specials with Netflix, but now he switched. HBO lured him in because he said as a kid, he dreamed of being on HBO. Oh. It was like where all the real comedy was happening. And since he was a child, he was like, HBO was his dream, and his dreams are coming true because his latest special is going to be on HBO Max.
It's a good dream to have.
Yeah.
HBO's classy lassie.
And finally here, just with a few seconds left, we need to be paying attention to Mastodon. That's the other social network that people are going to because Twitter is failing.
Yeah.
Actually, Elon Musk mocked them and he said, ooh, looks like there's this other cool social network called Mastabaterdon. And then he deleted it.
Grow up. That is also so.
But this company, their stock has gone up like crazy in this week. So I'm going to make a Mastodon account.
You petulant child.
Is that all you have to do?
You petulant little Farquaad.
You little fart.
I know. We're going to take a break. Forced movie review with Alexis when we return. Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning right here on My Talk. Streaming now and later, like a candy, at mytalk1071.com. We haven't done this in a while. It's Friday. We're in a party mood, so everybody stand up, unless you're in your car.
Yeah!
We have the world's shortest dance party, so get up, everybody. I need everybody up. Everybody up. Right, everybody up.
Actually, I'm not, but I'll pretend.
Okay, here we go.
This is the world's fastest dance party.
Playing with the queen of hearts.
That is the world's fastest dance party.
There we go. There we go.
Wow. Barely get that butt cheek going.
Okay. Well, fine. We'll do one more. Don, okay. Go ahead and put that down. Here we go. Everyone up. Mm-hmm. Everybody stand up.
Get ready.
Here we go.
This is the world's fastest dance party.
Shake,
world's fastest dance party.
Whoa.
There we go. That's it. Every week, we assign each other a movie we must watch in a format that we hate. Alexis can't stand horror movies. So Dawn has assigned her one.
Especially gory. I can't believe you're making me do this.
We have to talk
like
about
this
that.
One.
Forced movie reviews.
You forced me to do this.
Woo! Forced movie reviews. What do we have?
Reanimator. 1985's. Actually, it's also known as H.P. Lovecraft's Reanimator.
That's right.
Which put a lot of things into perspective for me, Dawn McClain.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I did like that Lovecraft TV series that was on HBO Max.
Yes.
And there's some weird wackadoodle stories that you think, where does this concept come into someone's mind? And this absolutely fits the mold. There's some crazy themes going on, like about competition, about old school science, new school science. They fetishize this young female blonde woman. The security guard is absolutely clueless, looking at a Bourdieu magazine, and he conveniently takes breaks when this weird body with this fake head walks through the morgue. So he's like, oh, time for a break. And the guy's ear falls off, and he's just like, doo-doo-doo.
Oh, my God. I love the way she's telling this.
I'm looking at her little notebook.
I took notes.
Okay, I love this.
Yes, I did take notes.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. It is very scary. They've got the loud, the Lovecraft music that's going on. That's, you know, pretty symbolic of the style. But there were a few funny moments.
Yes.
So there's a doctor, Dr. Hill, who really fetishizes this colleague's young daughter, who's a student. There's another guy who is a medical student. He's in his third year. They're in a relationship. You see a lot of her boobs too, by the way.
Yeah. This. This is a booby show.
And you do see a lot of butt cheeks, because at one point, the guys and gals in the morgue, they have been given this, like, electro Mountain Dew serum looking neon bright serum. Okay. And so they're naked in the morgue. So you see a lot of butt cheek action. Anyway, that's one reason to watch, if that's your thing, if you like zombie body parts. But this Dr. Hill, he's pretty much really jealous of this young man who's come from Germany, who has, he said, he's learned as much as he can in terms of how to elongate human life. And he's found this theorem. Okay. And so this doctor, who stateside, realizes, I need to figure this out more. And at one point, his head is off from his body, but he's able to control his body with his head in a tray. And he controls the young female that he fetishizes, her dad, who is also the dean of the science department, of like his boss, who has also turned into a zombie, to capture his daughter, bring her to the morgue, where his headless body is working on transforming all of these dead bodies into zombies.
Reanimating them.
And reanimating them.
The title Reanimator.
That's right, yes, with this serum. So
nothing goes terribly wrong.
Right. It's all just...
That seems really simple.
Yeah.
It just works out completely. Oh, my gosh. So there's this whole thing. They're in the morgue. You know, they kind of... It's building up to this moment where they're all in this morgue together, and the headless body is working on the daughter who her dad just brought... Rips off his daughter's clothes so her breasts are exposed. And there's the creepy doctor with the head off. He's holding his head at his waist, and he's talking about how infatuated he is with the man's daughter. And he gets so really close, and then like close to her breasts, and then close to her down basement area. And then that's when the young scientist from Germany comes in and is like, hey, I know what you're doing. You're not doing this for science. You're doing this because you're a creepy pervert.
Yes.
That's what's happening.
Is that what he says?
This is the best review.
Is this what he says? I know that you're doing this to be a creepy pervert.
How do you know? I don't know. You've got your head down by her hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Her basement area.
Right between her knees. And you're holding your head that's not attached to your body. You're a creep. So then, of course, the boyfriend comes to save the day, right? This is
and the head is still by the cooter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. The head is still there. The creepy German young doctor who comes up with the serum, he walks in and is like, I know what you're doing. And then the boyfriend comes in and is like, I'm here to save the day. And, you know, he does. At some point, these zombies are following them because he's got the whole morgue turned into zombies. And then he's like, you know what? We're getting out of here. So we're going to take the elevator. And of course, the door goes so slowly. It tries to close, and then a zombie comes. They defeat that guy. Then it tries to close again. And then there's another guy, this hairy one. Wow, this was like a werewolf zombie. I was like, whoa. So finally, they get away. But the problem is that the dad...
Oh, now we get to the problem. The detached head by the cooter wasn't a problem. Yeah. Now we're going to get to the...
Yes, okay. What's the problem?
Now we're at another problem.
Okay.
Because what happens is because the love of his daughter, the dad who helped capture her, kind of, you know, there is some humanity in there. And he's like, oh, that's my daughter. Like, this is wrong. I don't know what I'm doing.
You should have thought about that like 45 seconds ago.
Before bringing her in there. So she, that zombie, that second zombie kind of knocks her out, right? So she's gone.
What do you mean she's gone?
She's gone. Like he's killed her.
The daughter.
The daughter. Yes. the dad didn't kill the daughter, but another zombie.
Okay.
So finally the elevator functions and they're in a hospital because he's a medical
This is all medical students. Medical facility. Yes. It's a competition kind of between medical students.
Yes. So finally he gets the boyfriend gets her up and he's like, you know, after they fought like at least a dozen zombies, let alone these doctors who are trying to take over, right? Mm. So he's got the girlfriend, he's holding her, brings her into the room. All the other people, like all of a sudden there's all these people, which I'm like, don't you hear that commotion down there? Like, wouldn't the somebody walk by?
Yeah.
So finally he walks like, I don't know, the full length of the hospital. And they're finally like, come on over here. They put her down. And instead of going, because he's a third year medical student, instead of going, doctors, save her. He has just fought all these zombies and the doctors. And he's like, no, I got this. So he gets the little paddles, you know, does a little gel on there and warms him up and shocks her, and he's doing like compressions on her chest and everything, and he doesn't save her. So aww, guess what he does?
Hold that thought. We'll find out what he does when we return. Welcome back to the Enchantment Under the Sea prom. Jace with Lex and Dawn.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up Force Movie Review, but first we have one more prize to give away.
Yes.
Dawn, what do we have?
We have tickets to see Louis Tomlinson from One Direction next summer in June. So clear your plate. We'll take caller number 3 right now because our phones are a little wacky.
Yeah.
All right. So 651-641-1071. It's a pair of tickets to see him at the Armory.
There we go. Ooh. Call now. Phone lines are open. Okay, Lex.
Fun.
You left us on a cliffhanger.
Okay. Yes. All right. So we're at the point in Reanimator where there is very end of the film. The boyfriend has saved the day, of course, and his girlfriend is dead. She's gone. And instead of letting her just die, because she just realized, you know, that her creepy professor was all like a pervert, her dad betrayed her, and now this boyfriend, he's there, but just at that point, she's lived a good life.
She's had a good time.
Yeah.
Check, please.
But he got greedy, and he injects her with the serum, and the movie ends with her screaming.
Oh, so it's like Pet Sematary.
Yeah. So what is he going to do? Keep her in a little cage? Or maybe he's like, my love is so strong for her that I will find the humanity in her and we'll be together.
Because she's a zombie right now.
Well, he made her one. Yeah.
He made her one.
By injecting her. And it's also very weird, you know, with the different doses of who gets what, because that young doctor was brilliant and he's like, we're going to overdose them. And that's what kind of got the other zombies, they were donezo. So that's why Dr. Hill, the one that was a creeper, he was able to manage his body with his brain, even though they weren't attached. So,
I mean, look, what a crazy concept. You could get up at Crypticon and do a symposium about Reanimator right now. I mean, this is just the first one. There are others.
There's a whole thing, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there are several. Because remember, did you watched it on Tubi?
I did, yes. Yeah. Free
on Tubi?
Yeah. I watched it in 3 different chunks, and so that was great.
When did you watch your last chunk, Lex?
About 4:30 this morning.
Oh, my God.
I had about 15 minutes left. So you guys know it's fresh.
Girl,
yeah.
I have so many times, I have watched it in my bathroom the day of. I've watched the end of so many movies in my bathroom while I'm brushing. Oh, yeah. I've watched it at Fox, like, before we go on. I pulled up the last few minutes. Yeah.
I got to get this done.
I got to get this ending done. Yeah. I get this last.
Yeah. Gotta figure this out.
I think you'll be so enthralled with this next one, though, that you won't want to stop watching.
Really? You think so? See, it's scary, and it can be really funny. But what I really like about these stories, and I'm not saying that I'm going to go back and watch it anytime soon, is the overarching themes that are still relevant today.
Oh, Lord.
You know, toxic masculinity, competition, fetishizing women, putting them in their place.
Look at you, just really.
Lazy security guard, you know.
That is always
the lazy security guard trope. Yeah. That's a good one, Lex.
Well, we're working on that. I heard Congress is trying to pass it.
Yeah. Lexless. Did you get that, everybody? Lexless off five really serious stuff. You know, like toxic masculinity.
Guards. If he just would have been paying attention, none of this would happen.
Fetishizing women.
Yeah.
He's like homophobia, anti-Semitism, and lazy security guards.
What I was saying was, what's so funny about this is when I said, but this next one, you won't want to stop watching. I was trying to segue to Jason's movie, but you
yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No,
I'm
that so was sorry. Fantastic. Because again, you list off five very serious, pertinent
like
things.
World peace, yeah. Old school and new school science, yeah. You know, young and old.
Gross men and lazy security guards.
Yes, it's a problem.
Okay,
but here we go. I watched it on Tubi. You can watch your film on Tubi as well for free. Jason? You will be watching Simon Says, featuring Dennis Rodman and Dane Cook.
Oh, God.
Here's a little bit of that beautiful trailer footage.
This fall, the bad boy rocks the big screen.
Keep coming.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Long time no see.
When the enemy strikes.
Did you bring the money?
Do you have the disc?
Simon is the man for the mission.
The disc.
Classified U.S. military soldier.
But when they hit too close to home.
Where's Mitchell?
He hit back.
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on before I go Picasso on your ass and rearrange your face.
Yeah! You ready for that?
Oh my God. Jeez. I've never even heard of this movie.
There's a reason.
Dane Cook and Dennis Rodman. Oh.
Oh, yeah. This is... It has 16% audience score. This is from 1999.
Is this an on-hell pick?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. A zero for the critics. Wow.
Zero.
Have we ever seen that before?
What I haven't seen before is Says, spelled S-E-Z.
Yes, Simon Says.
For no reason.
Yeah. I was like, can you help me think of a movie? He's like, got it. Sent me this info. Oh. I'm like, that's it. Perfect.
The only redeeming...
Because he's finding information about the weapons trade in the French Riviera.
Oh, okay.
He's trying to get to the man at the center.
Well... If anyone can do it, it's Dennis Rodman.
And Dane Cook. That wacky team.
Do they go to North Korea at any point in this movie?
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Do they stop to see Dennis's friend, Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, what they did there is Dane Cook stopped and got some plastic surgery in North Korea. And this is what happens when you go to other countries to get it cheap.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. There's monks in this film.
Oh, great.
There's a feisty woman in this film. Oh.
I love how you're randomly picking
out. A daughter.
Oh, another daughter.
Yeah,
is anybody fetishizing here? Okay, yeah.
How about a lazy security guard?
They're the root of all the problems.
Is there a lazy security guard?
Not looking at bourgeois magazines.
Bourgeois.
Anybody fetishizing a woman in this movie? Just like yours?
God. Probably. Be ready.
I haven't ever heard like porn mags called boudoir mags.
This comes from a woman who refers to her dinner as a feast.
That's right, Cracker Barrel shirt. Come
That's
on.
Right.
That's right.
A boudoir magazine.
Well, it's the title of the magazine, and that's what's in there.
Oh, yes,
that is the title.
That's true. You're right about that.
My husband just texted.
I do like you calling it that better, though.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm.
My husband has texted. He said, I think I've seen this movie.
Yes!
Oh, God, Colin.
Colin.
You won't go see Smile with me, but you've watched Simon Says.
No.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I cannot wait for your review.
I can't
wait
either.
Wow, I'm glad you haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you wonder if you have.
Yeah. It's on Tubi, you said?
Yep. For free.
Okay. Well, there we go.
All those action movie goodness.
I can't wait.
For you, Jace.
Yeah. Well, children's, that does it for us today and this week.
That'll do it.
That'll do it, Pig. That'll do. I'm off to Rosedale. That's going to do it for us. If you're listening and you're a kid that's being bullied, go out there and be yourself because nobody can tell you're doing it wrong. Right, Lex?
That's right. You be you. Have a fantastic day. Friday. Woo, woo, woo. We love you so much, and we will talk on Monday. Donna and Steve up next. Bye for now.
It's a beautiful day.